3, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at 6:33 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Resolution 24-444, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held August 6, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. The boundaries fall within the Province of Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Since we're back in the open session, we'll do a roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskins.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Kekinen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Project Manager Thomas Clemens.
And Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and their personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Rob's here.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't look at you and I thought you were Rob.
Much better.
So we've moved item 17.4 up to between 13 and 14. So we'll deal with that first. We have Resolution 24-445. Moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekinen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report Fire Department 2024-16, monthly status updates for July 2024 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. And I think Rob has more things to talk about as well. But we'll certainly look at his report. And any questions of Council, I'll just turn it over to Rob first of all.
Any questions to do with the report at all, the monthly report? The two sort of addendums to the monthly report there are essentially what we're here to talk about, just different subjects which are broached within the monthly report itself. One to do with the fire apparatus. Another to do with the beginning of the communications effort. So.
Okay, let's go into those.
Okay.
Now, keeping in mind that we're not passing any budget tonight, so...
Oh, there's no... I understand that we're not passing any budget tonight. That's not the intention here tonight at all. Do you want to start with the communications, or do you want to start with the apparatus?
Either one.
Okay. So, with the apparatus, we had the major repair to Rescue 2 this past month. The final bill has not come in yet. The original was $8,500. As a quote for the repairs, and that is just to get it back certified on the road as an emergency vehicle. They encountered a few difficulties during the repair. Naturally, when you have a vehicle of that usage, I guess there were a couple of bolts that were breaking, there were things that became more difficult to work on. So the final tally is not in yet. I'm expecting it to be a little north of 9 for the final repair. But again, when that is received, I will forward it on and so forth. Okay. It did bring up a significant subject for us, and that was originally broached in the sort of the township's plan for the planning of apparatus and so forth that we brought up last summer. And then we discussed it further when we were doing budget talks in terms of finding an eventual replacement for Rescue 2. At a time when it was still capable of being kept as a spare truck, number one, but also as a technical rescue vehicle that we could use for transporting ice rescue gear, wildfire gear, and so forth. We've had now two instances in the past couple months where Prairie Sound has been a great assistance to us with the loaning of their old squad, which was due to be replaced and yet hasn't been put up for auction yet. And that allowed us to maintain our level of service during the times when both Rescue 1 was in getting its body shop repair stuff done for 3 weeks, and then the week in a bit that Rescue 2 was out of service. So great thanks to them, and great thanks to their chief, Dave Thompson, for allowing us to borrow that. But it definitely highlighted a weakness within the, apparatus inventory for us, and that is that we are definitely at risk of having to downgrade our service if we don't have something to fill in the gap for mechanical failures and so forth, right? We can rely on mutual aid to a certain extent, but we do also have to have a certain amount of self-sufficiency. So allowing Rescue 2 to be turned into Technical Rescue 2 will make it available for us to use temporarily if our Rescue 1 or the new Rescue 2 goes down out of service, needs repairs for the future. It just allows us to be self-sufficient. It also allows it to fill a role that we currently have a vacancy in, which is being a utility truck and a spare apparatus. So
this leads into the mini pump.
This leads into the mini pump. So this leads into any replacement, really. What we looked at as being the ideal situation for the township in terms of the type of vehicle for replacement, we landed on the mini pumper because it meets all the 1901 NFPA standards. It meets the insurance underwriters' standards for what they would want for pumping apparatus. It renews our 20-year runway that we have to have for having a primary pumping apparatus with the insurance underwriters, where they want something that's under 20 years of age. And currently out of Station 2, we have Tanker 2, which is a fantastic truck. It is a 2012, and so it is due to be replaced in 8 years' time. And a tanker at that point in time, and Whitestone took delivery very recently of a very bare-bones pumper, and I believe it was $800,000, and it was a no-bells-and-whistles pumper truck, very similar to the Fort Garry pumper truck that we have in Station 1. Functionally, fantastic, right? Just not a lot of extra sort of attributes that go along with it. Having the mini pump would allow us to essentially extend that runway for when we would need to replace that tanker. It would give it approximately 10 years of extra lifespan because we would have to do increase our maintenance on it. We would have to increase our recertification of it, and it would be subject to different criteria by the insurance underwriters. However, being a second-line apparatus, not responsible for front-line pumping, it is given a certain amount of leeway, right? So that is one major advantage to going with the mini pumper. Number two, at current, we have no pumping apparatus whatsoever that can be driven by a G-driver. You need to have a DZ in order to drive it. A mini pumper, anybody who has a regular road license is capable of driving, which means that we can get the water to the fire faster. It's not a lot of water, but it meets the minimums. It allows us to provide an initial attack. It gives us just that extra little bit of time to be able to get the other pumping apparatus and water carrying apparatus to the scene, setting up pools, setting up a water. So from that standpoint, it means that everybody who's part of the department can take that apparatus to the scene. our recent history was the house fire that we had a year and a half ago. Guys did a fantastic job. But the initial truck on the scene was Rescue 2, because nobody of the four people who were got there first had a decent license. So they entered the building essentially at risk and using only extinguishers until I could get there from, I believe I was coming from the CBMC scenario in November in Parry Sound. I had to go pick up the tanker too and get it to the scene so that we could have hoses and water. So it immediately eliminates that as being an issue. So that's another big advantage of going with the mini pumper. We don't have to. I am well aware of budget issues. I am well aware that the pump is tight. I think that the investments in this now or in the beginning of 2025 is ideal because, as you can see from the quote that was provided for Dependable, the exact same truck, the quote is no longer active. It has expired. It was $416,000, and now they're saying between $450,000 and $475,000 for the exact same apparatus. Things are not getting cheaper, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe it is the right time to decide to just bite the bullet and go for this investment. That being said, we can go with a no-pump, no-water-carrying apparatus, just have it as a regular rescue. Is capable of carrying equipment, and 90% of the time you're completely happy with it. It serves its purpose, it runs its medical calls, it goes to its motor vehicle accidents, it can still, you know, function the same way that Rescue 2 is functioning now. At that point in time, though, we have the consideration that 8 years from now, we are going to be in a position where our hand is more or less being forced into a larger investment. And given the fact that we are already under a condition where we're being forced into a larger investment in 2027 with the replacement of our SCBA packs, which is a $225,000 investment, no way around it, really. They will have reached their extended lifespan. It just seems like it's advantageous to get ahead of the game sometimes and maybe save a little bit. So, you have my recommendations. I mean, I'm willing to work with council the best we can. What I would like to see out of today is perhaps permission to construct a tender and put it out there and see what we have the quotes from when we were speaking with all the different agencies that create these trucks. We have rough numbers, but again, they're from back when the Dependable quote was created, so whether they're still the same or not. We would just spec out exactly what we want, put it out there, see what the results are, and then from there, bring it to council, and council can decide to.
What kind of a time frame, though? We're not really talking budget until, like, even 2025 budget until quite a bit later. We have to get through this year.
Well aware of that, yes.
I'm just wondering what the timeline of putting this out there and getting prices that may be out of date the week later. And also, I'm wondering, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, maybe you don't have it available, we can talk to our treasurer. Is there anything in reserve right now from the fire department for equipment?
Currently, yes. Currently, don't hold me to this, but the number on the top of my head, I believe, is $137,000.
Okay.
Was the last. I don't believe that includes the $50,000 for this year that got transferred into reserve, so that may actually be $187,000, but it might, so it's in that window. Of what is currently sitting there as capable of being accessed.
So as a transition here, this would be the only thing you'd be looking at for us to consider for a budget for next year?
The whole rest of it shut down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish. No, as far as budget for next year, in terms of major investments,
right.
This is... this is the one thing that I can see being a major investment. Yes, this is the one major investment that I can see happening for next year. That kind of leads into my other discussion of the communications, though, because the one unknown if we want to transfer into the communications conversation, is that we have a quote for doing the assessment of our tower. The assessment of the tower is going to cost us just under $6,000. They're going to go and see that it's a tower from the 80s and it has received virtually no maintenance in the time that it's been there. We know that to put a new antenna on it is just over $10,000 to put new antenna and new wiring on it, but we don't know whether the tower itself is structurally sound and wise to be putting $10,000 worth of equipment on the tower. So from that standpoint, you know, I would look to go and start that evaluation of the tower, which the tower itself is sort of in phase three, when you read my report, sort of in phase three of what our communications upgrade is. They're going to go, while the weather is good, they're going to go in, do the climbing of the tower, do a full assessment, they're going to let us know. Structurally, is it okay? Do we just need to tighten the guy wires? Maybe we need to add a guy wire. They may decide that it's actually in need of replacement. And at that point in time, I will be coming back to you with a fully typed report from them and saying, this is what we have to deal with. That is the only major investment that I foresee that could interrupt my earlier promise to you.
Yeah. Now this company that you'd mentioned, this went through the process. There were different companies contacted, or not too many would do this, I guess, evaluation of the tower.
There's not a lot that will do this. This took about 6 months for, so we work very closely with Telequip out of Barrie. They have been fantastic with us. They, anytime we've had an issue with our radio system, they are hours from being here, as opposed to dealing with larger firms, which may have access to other things, but they tend to take longer and you get put on the back burner because Barrie is more important, because Toronto is more important, because all of the other bigger places are more important to their bottom line. So Telequip has been treating us very well. Kelly Best, who I deal with at Telequip, is always available for comment and consultation anytime I have an issue. And I know that they're one of the people that are being heavily considered for the full dispatch upgrade by all of the municipalities.
I think you mentioned Kelly
worked for 6 months to find somebody to do this. There are not a lot of companies out there that will actually go and do an assessment on a tower. Most of them, I guess, just recommend you tear it down and start over.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that goes, I used Kelly's contacts, and no, we didn't go to multiple because we had enough trouble finding this one.
But just for clarification, I think you did mention that you talked to Carly about the procedure and that everything was okay the way they were doing it, the procurement?
Yes, yeah. And it's within budget.
Yeah, so the budget that was approved for 2024, all encompassing was $50,000. It was $25,000 for the radio communications upgrade, and $25,000 for the tower upgrades, including the equipment within the tower. Those two GL codes were given $25,000 each. The adjustment to what we were going to be going with in terms of portable radios has left a significant amount of room that I foresee in that first $25,000 for the radio upgrades, which is fantastic news and will honestly help us absorb the Rescue 2 repairs. It might not absorb the whole thing, but it will definitely help keep us within our specs. So, yes, so with the radio upgrades, we decided to go with, the radios that we'd like to go with, these I have been demoing for about 2 months. They're significantly smaller, lighter, and somewhat more capable than the radios that we currently use that everybody else has distributed. They tend to be bigger, they're more the weight of, more or less resembling a brick. But those ones are intrinsically safe and they're waterproof and so forth. And so they're fantastic for actual fire calls, and they have lapel mics and so forth. That's what you definitely want when you're entering into an IDLH environment, which is immediately dangerous to life and health environment. So we've decided to go with these smaller portables because at $350 a piece, it's a lot less than the $1,100 that we were quoted for the other portables to replace those. We can pick and choose of the inventory that we have. We between 12 and 16 are the best ones, and keep those, have them upgraded to digital, because they are capable of being reprogrammed, some of them, to digital. And then we will be installing those in our apparatus so that nobody will be taking those home, nobody will be dropping them accidentally, nobody, they'll have a lot less exposure to wear and tear. The batteries will always be charged. And so one of the problems that we have is that, you know, you carry this portable around with you now because you're listening for the dispatch to come in. And it's been on for 8 hours. And then you go and you get a call, and all of a sudden you're entering into an IDLH environment, and you have 30% battery left, and that's not ideal, mm-hmm. right? Whereas this way, we guarantee that everything's fully charged. So before, when a call comes in, before you leave the hall, if any of the responders will be grabbing one of these portable radios off the charger. It also makes it a lot easier from an asset management point of view, because, you know, the barrier to replacement is a lot less, right? If I had to replace one or two because people were using them on an accident scene and they got caught in a rainstorm or something like that, they are waterproof, but not to the same extent that the heavy-duty portable radios are. So if I ever had to replace one of them, or we, through attrition and so forth, we had we hired more people and we had more manpower and everybody needed a portable radio, it's a lot easier to be able to justify a $350 investment than it is an $1,100 investment. So.
Yeah, and again, this was in the budget?
Yes.
This was 100% in the budget, yes. So that GL code of $25,000, instead of taking a hit immediately of $22,000, which was the projected hit that it was going to take, is actually only going to take, well, including tax, I believe it was like $11,000. Mm-hmm. So it's under $10,000. It's $9,700 for the 28 radio purchase. And that's a pager and portable radio purchase. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Excellent.
And those portable radios will be programmed in analog for the time being, but they are digital capable, and at the time that we finally have our transition day, meaning the tower is taken care of, the repeater was taken care of, the trucks are taken care of, all of these things are taken care of, they will be reprogrammed at the same time as everything, all in one day. Telco will come up and just reprogram everything and have us on a digital spectrum from then on.
Questions from council? Councilor Peckham.
So with the mini pumper, one of the main advantages was it doesn't require a DZ license?
It does not require a DZ
license. So
just a G-class license, yes. Yes, and part of our, actually just sent them off today to council, part of our standard operating guidelines going forward will be essentially driver training for all apparatus, for all G-licensed people as well, not just on the pickup truck, because that current is the only G-licensed apparatus that we have in Rescue 2. So it will, you know, we'll maintain our training level and so forth as far as getting people run through and signed off on that mini pumper prior to allowing them to drive it.
Any other questions?
So looking at the list of assets that we have the Tanker 1, which is 2019.
Correct.
And Tanker 2, which is 2013.
Is it 13 and 12, yes.
It says 2013.
13 is what it says on the line, and yes, it's 13.
And 2020 Pumper 1.
Correct.
So Tanker 1 and Tanker 2, you have to externally pump the water into the tanker and then externally pump the water from the tanker to whatever the fire is.
They have small capacity pumps on them. They were actually in similar in size to what would be on the main pumper. So they are capable of pumping on their own, yes. The Tanker 2 is currently our primary pumping apparatus out of Station 2. But because, as we said, there's a very expensive runway approaching in the next 8 years for that vehicle, that's where the mini pumper becomes advantageous.
So we do have a little bit of buffer there.
We do,
8 years.
Yeah. At current, to replace that truck, you're probably looking at about $850,000 just for a simple tanker.
fire department equipment. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I wrote a letter of support for that. Personally, I feel like in rural areas such as this, where the buildup of kilometers, the buildup of years, is not necessarily indicative of the usage that the vehicle gets. So I thought that actual hours of usage might be a better benchmark with which to judge these trucks and their wear and tear. A lot of people agree with me, a lot of people don't agree with me. Some people, when discussing it with the chiefs at one of the previous chiefs meetings, one of the points that was brought up, because we did discuss it, and I believe it was Prince Edward County who had put forward that motion. One of the problems that you're going to encounter is that after 20 years, parts for these vehicles are going to become scarce, harder and harder to get, right? Is it wise to extend it? Is it not wise to extend it? Again, I think if you keep your vehicle in good mechanical order, a township such as us, which has limited use of a tanker vehicle, can totally justify basing our replacement time on hours of use as opposed to just simply years. But I have not heard anything beyond that one motion that Prince Edward County had put forward in terms of whether it would be accepted or not. It certainly wasn't a topic at the last OAFC convention or anything like that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
A lot of information.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking for just a simple direction as to whether or not we could create a tender for a vehicle, just to see what's out there. Again, there's no commitment on McKellar's part. When the numbers come in, I will be representing them to council, and then you can decide whether or not the time is right to pursue it at that point in time. And the other thing I was looking for today was just the permission to go forward with the portable radio, essentially phase one of the plan, which is communications, which is the portable radio purchase prior to the end of summer, as well as getting the tower evaluated. So if you guys are good with those, then I would proceed with all three of those.
Well, we have two sitting in front of me. I don't know what the third one is circulating. We shall see. Councillor Zula.
So have you, you're waiting for this to pass before you make arrangements to come and look at the tower?
So yes, we have the quote, we have the arrangements today. I'm just making sure that you guys are good continuing on with this.
So when would they be coming, you know?
Well, I would, tomorrow morning, I would pass that on to Kelly, and he would make the arrangements.
So would you let us know whether they can fix it or they?
Oh, absolutely. No, they. The quote, I believe, is for a detailed report on the health and wellness of the tower, as well as the antenna and the wiring and so forth. So the entire infrastructure is about to be evaluated, and from there, I'll be bringing a report, no matter the result, forward to council so that you are aware. Okay. And that report will tell us whether more of an investment is needed to the tower or whether we're good. So, yes, sir.
Councilor Kacken.
So, in regards to different companies that do inspections on towers, we recently had a report from Cogeco on the Sharon Park Tower.
Yes.
So, just if you want to put that in your files, as that's the companies that they use for tower inspections.
Did we get an inspection from
that? There was an inspection report in there.
Okay.
And they had, it was from a company that does tower inspections.
Okay.
Just so you have it on files, different options.
Yeah, in case, it might actually be the same company, I'm not sure, because I know there's not a lot of them out there. So, but yes, I'm sure the deputy clerk can forward me that inspection report.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we have some resolutions that might please you here shortly. See how they, if they pass or not. But thank you. Well, we have the one resolution on the floor. That was just to accept your report, so I'll call for the vote on that. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Then we have resolution 24-446, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, has hereby accept the quotation from Telequip
wireless communications for 28 portable radios at a cost of $9,744 plus HST of $1,266.72 for a total of $11,010.72. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-447, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept a quotation from Max Tower Company Limited for tower inspection of the radio tower on Balsam Road to include an antenna audit and tower structural analysis with report for a cost of $5,475 plus HST of $711.75 for a total of $6,186.75. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-448, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to release a tender for the purchase of one mini pumper mounted on a 2023 Ford F-550 chassis or a similar competitor make slash model or current year. Discussion? Councillor Keckin?
I have to look in the procurement file, but aren't tenders actually, they're binding to some extent compared to something as a request for expression of interest.
My understanding of anything you put out there that it can be refused, so lowest or any tender not necessarily accepted. I think that's the way it usually reads. And I know where you're going with it. That once you put it out there, then we're purchasing it. But I don't think that's the case.
Well, there's almost an expectation that certain contracts that you put out there, then there's an expectation that it's followed through with.
It may be, but this is also to get a feel for costs, I guess, and what the competitors are. You have a price from one particular sort of rough idea.
We have a couple of prices, yes.
Okay.
And this was dependable. Dependable, for a couple of different reasons, was attractive. One, I felt dependable in my other job for, primarily, that's what their apparatuses have been, and they've always been fantastic. Second is that they're being from Brampton, they're local, and they can fix and do anything to the truck in terms of repairs, tanks, the tank that's has damage or anything like that. It's all handled in-house, and it's 2 hours away, right? So that's one of the reasons why they're very attractive, as opposed to having to ship a vehicle to New Brunswick to get a repair done, right? This may be my fault, Councillor Keckin, I may have used the wrong terminology by saying tender as opposed to request for proposal or something of the like. So,
okay, Councillor Keckin.
So tender means a written detailed offer from a vendor or service provider to supply goods, services, or construction to the corporation. Expression of interest means a written detailed proposal submitted in response to a request for an expression of interest. So I think that we're entering into the realm of something that may be binding if it's put out as a tender.
Well, I don't fully agree with that. To me, what you've read there doesn't say anything is binding.
Yeah, I think it's in there. Ultimately, the council has the bottom line decision on anything, no matter what comes in. You know, and that's the way it should be, and I'm sure it's got to be in that document.
Yeah, and it usually is. The only question is, of course, at this stage, are we a bit premature with it? And I know what you're saying, the costs are going up and up and up, but we haven't even looked at, as I prefaced all of this, our next year's budget, and we haven't talked roads or any number of large expenditures we may have. And so we don't want it, you to leave here with the assumption that, and I don't think you will, that, you know, this is going to be a line item next year's budget. So
I don't expect that. I know that this is, if we don't talk about it, then, I'm not doing my job by informing you fully about the status of your apparatus and your assets within the township. And so as long as I can bring it forward and draw attention, bring you every bit of information that I can so you can make the appropriate decision for what the township can handle from there. It's out of my hands.
Okay. Councillor Zulak?
So instead of saying tender, are we saying request for proposal? Because we don't necessarily accept those. We have that in our motions here tonight.
Yeah, again, what I would say is that we don't accept just any tender either, but
yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's a slight difference there, and I don't know whether Tom wants to weigh in on this or not. The difference between a tender and an RFP or an expression of interest, or you'd have to look at the procurement bylaw in some detail. But
I kind of agree with Councilor Cashman. And I know all tenders say that they can be not accepted.
Right. There's an expectation.
But I mean, when you're fishing for prices and future planning, maybe expression of interest is better.
Mm-hmm.
So
tender
is
just,
yeah.
I mean, same document, it just doesn't,
what
you're not
is,
making anybody any promises.
Right.
Yeah.
You're looking to see what's out there.
And whatever it is, the purpose being just to get the information.
Councilor Cochran?
The tender form shall provide the bidder significant space to complete a minimum of the following information: name, address, and phone number of the bidder, specification of goods or works to be performed, date of completion delivery, price and terms of payment, disposition of taxes, warranty terms and conditions, signature bidder, acknowledgement of receipt of the addenda. I just think that in the AMC2 educational information, it did speak of the differences between the different RFPs or tenders, and some are in the realm of being binding. I believe that this is that case.
Well,
I believe the major purpose here is so that we don't get caught having to make a rush decision in
right.
an event where Rescue 2 is now unfunctioning.
Right.
We were thankfully able to recertify it and get it back into service for the time being, but if we don't gather information, then we're forced to make a much quicker, hastier decision and may not be fully in control of the technical aspects of it. So.
Councilor Cochran?
The tender form supplied by the municipality must be fully completed and in the possession of the clerk administrator on or before the tender closing date and time. Sealed tenders with a public opening shall be required.
Again, there's nothing saying it's binding. That's what I'm saying. I agree
with
what you're saying.
These steps and processes, you're inferring that you are going to be making a commitment for an offer to purchase. They're offering, and that's what you're seeking, is an offer to purchase.
Councilor Zulak?
But I think we have done that in the past, and the tenders have sent in, and if there's something that's way out of our range, we've refused it. We've
right.
not gone ahead with it, so I don't think that that's binding.
I think we can shorten all of this. The amendment is to change tender to an expression of interest.
Yeah.
So we won't have to go any further over this discussion.
There's not a document now, is there, for expression of interest? That we
we'll find out.
And I'm just wondering, Dave, if it would be helpful when these tenders come in, Nick and Rob.
Well, not tenders, our expressions of interest.
Yes, that's right. And I'm just wondering, you touched on it, Rob, but maybe it can only be a one-pager, is your financial forecast, especially for capital going forward, say for the next 5 or 10 years, even kind of thing? Because you talk about other capital expenditures are going to be happening within the 8 years and stuff. So something that kind of give us an idea.
I did submit that last August.
I sort of thought
ago,
maybe, but a refresher.
We had timelines for apparatus in 2024 was always earmarked for Rescue 2 as being in need of replacement. We were hoping not to have to go through another winter with it. During the budget discussions, the request of council was that we try to put it off to the 2025 budgetary year. So we looked at, you know, can we even order one this year and receive it and pay for it in 2025, that kind of thing. So I can resend that to you if you'd like, or I can update it. with where we currently are.
Yeah, yeah, update it when this information comes in, and so we'll have it in front of us also.
That document also does include the SCBA purchase and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is it's always a moving target, depending on which government's in there and what regulations change. So I don't even know how you keep up to it. And it looks almost as if one size fits all, but even if a large department has it, even a small one needs it. And so you can share it to a certain extent, as you mentioned, but so it's hard to go beyond. You mentioned 2027, where certain things are required, and who's to say whether that's going to shift a little bit. So.
And I have done my best to look into like NOHFC grants and whether they're applicable for SCBA purchases and so forth. And there are some funny things that go along with stuff like that. The NOHFC is not interested in a grant for self-contained breathing apparatus, which is an essential part of firefighting. Yet they are entertaining a proposal that I will be putting to them for the acquisition of backup generators. For the stations. So it's where they draw the line is sometimes a fuzzy moving target.
That's good if you can make some inroads, because I know in the past the grants just weren't available for anything related to fire departments.
Yeah.
But we tried even for buildings and any number of things, and they just didn't show any interest. But so hopefully they are now in some cases.
I think they recognize the importance of emergency preparedness, especially with different things going on, such as the Jasper fires and stuff like that, right? So it's challenging. It's a full-time job. Just trying to keep up with that. So.
Councilor Keckner?
In regards to a request for expression of interest, the submission of an expression of interest does not create any contractual obligation between the corporation and the interested supplier.
Neither does the tender, but you say it's implied, yes. So our resolution has an amendment. I think I read the resolution before, right? The amendment is to change tender to an expression of interest. Call the vote on that first of all. All those in favor of the amendment? And now those in favor of the resolution as amended. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Is this more fire? No? Okay. Great. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob. Now we're back to 14.1 minutes of the July 16th, 2024 regular meeting of council. That resolution 24-449. Moved by Councilor Dulac, second by Councilor Keckner. Be it resolved, the council of the corporation of Thompson and Keller does hereby approve the minutes of the July 16th, 2024 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Keckner?
So resolution 24-424, it talks about a public meeting and open house concerning proposed official plan and zoning bylaw amendments. And 24-437, it states the dates as Sunday, August 25th at 10 a.m. in the community center, and a public meeting to be held on Thursday, August 29th, 2024 at 6 p.m. Is that still in place?
As far as I know, it's nothing has changed there.
So there was some correspondence with someone from NMH saying that those meetings should not be taking place until the end of September?
We'll still move forward with those two meetings. There may need to be a third meeting to be a statutory requirement for the MMAH, but those two meetings, as advertised, will move forward.
Yeah, I think it's good. Sorry, Gordon.
Just a question. Those are on Sundays, right? Does that interfere with the anything else in the community center that we need to cancel? The cards or something?
I can give them a heads up.
Yes, yes.
I think the idea is while we have the summer residents here, certainly gives them an opportunity rather than on into September or whatever. And it might not be available. Now we have the Zoom link, of course, too, but sometimes people want to attend in person. And it's good to for us to get feedback as well. I think the earlier the better. Some are sending in now through email, but certainly in a public meeting we can get that as well. And I just want to confirm that we have our planner, John Jackson, for those 2 days.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And And that's what the open house and the public meeting, even though it's not a statutory public meeting, as you mentioned, just to clarify to the public as well, that it's for council to receive information, not necessarily to open up a discussion. So the public can certainly have their opinions, make comments, etc., and it's all recorded. And we would take that into under advisement and go from there. And then, of course, it'd be the statutory public meeting later. But it's not a time for interaction between the council, and this is always has to be explained that it is to hear the public. Any other discussion about the minutes? Call the question. All those in favor?
Abstain.
Okay. I'll have to be recorded. Abstention. Resolution 24-450, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft conditions met letter with regards to consent application number B10/2024, in parentheses, EDC Custom Contracting, end parentheses, and further approved with the letter being signed and sent to the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-451, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft minutes of the February 7th, 2024 meeting of the Township of McKellar Historical Committee. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-452, moved by Councillor Keckin and second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the April 24th, 2024 meeting of the Board of Health and Finance and Property Committee. Discussion? Councillor Keckin?
So on page 5 of 8, it discusses that on June 25th, 2008, the Board of Health by resolution removed, or they established them as Municipal Reserve Fund. And then on September 26, 2012, the Board of Health, by resolution, removed the cap from the Municipal Reserve. So now they recently transferred $77,000 into this reserve fund. I think if we knew what the original cap was and how large this reserve fund can become, I think that should be of interest to the municipalities, because those funds that are generated over the course of the year that aren't necessary, required immediately or in the near future, should be rebased to the municipalities and not necessarily going into a reserve fund that has no cap on it.
Yes, I noticed that. If we checked with a representative, Jamie McGarvey, I don't think he was at that meeting.
No, he wasn't.
So I'm not sure where we'll get an answer unless we write to the chair, I suppose. But I think that's a good point. Why did they remove the cap? And I know in the past they were moving around different locations, and I think they actually purchased a piece of property. So I'm not sure the reasoning for the reserve and why there's no cap now, what they're planning for the future, we don't know.
And they did purchase a piece of property. They built a brand new facility up in North Bay. And I'm just wondering, is that reserve still required? And how large are they going to build up this reserve, and for what reasons?
All good questions.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, Councilor Zulak.
I just noticed here it says our representative, Jamie McGarvey, joined the meeting at 6:30. So
They adjourned at 6:31 or something. If you read further, he didn't quite make it. Well, he was there.
So he can't help us.
Well, he might have been from earlier discussions, so he may have some information. that might be our starting point with our representative. But, you know, council can certainly go right to the top if they wish.
Yeah. Can we ask Carly to look into it?
Yep, I can read over.
Okay, for this resolution, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-453, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2024-07, Township Structures Inspection from Project Administrator Tom Stoneman for information purposes. Discussion, and since we have Tom here, maybe he can speak to it as well. So if you have any particular questions.
Tom, I know on Facebook there was a number of people recently complaining about the goose poo on the government dock, I think, at Minerva.
Yeah.
And all the rest. I was there for the market and took a very, very quick look, and it seemed to have been gone. Do you know, was that your guys or Public Works guys? Or I don't know. I mean, if it was that bad, and it wasn't when I got there, what does that mean? Who actually did
our guys clean it regularly.
Did it? Okay.
The goose problem is pretty bad.
Okay.
So there will be times where people will notice it.
Of course.
They're there daily. But it's okay. Clean. It's clean quite often.
Okay. Secondly, while I was at the market, I am aware that both Jan and Rob Gibson spent 3 hours last Friday cleaning the goose poo on the grassy area of the park,
yes.
Which is an inordinate amount of time. Although I recall, I'm not sure that, I don't think Jan told me this, somebody told me that Public Works had used a rake behind something, maybe a tractor, to rake it.
And it works well, and they do it every Friday morning.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, before the, yeah, but that doesn't mean the
fly. I know, blinking comes the goose
moves in the afternoon.
I know from my personal experience at home. Yes.
They try their best, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been working. She hasn't complained at all this
year.
That would be the first I've heard that.
No, she wasn't complaining about that. I mean, then even the other.
I think she realizes how bad it is, and I think they spent some time as well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I wasn't aware you guys were already doing it every Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Every Friday.
Okay. And the washrooms is another thing I've heard complaints at, because I'm there just volunteering, and because I'm close to where the washrooms are.
Yeah.
People sometimes come out and complain to me. They didn't this time, but they had in the past about, I guess, does Adams Brothers clean those?
Also on Fridays.
On Fridays?
It's their regular,
Okay.
milk run. They do our area on Fridays. So.
Okay. Well,
which works out great for us.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that was a request from the market people and Jan. And we thought, oh God, how do we get them to change their route? But it turned out it was Friday anyways.
What I have been surprised at this whole year is how many people driving by the market on a Saturday pull in there just to use the washrooms, the toilets, and they aren't going to the market, right? And people want to come in and just park right in the middle of the area, and I say, no, you can't, you got to go down there. But it's surprising, I gather, they're on a regular basis daily, that people make that their designated stop along the route. So who knew? But I didn't know that.
Well, that was sort of the intent before the market even came into existence.
Sure.
That property was purchased, and the idea was, first of all, for MTO to set up one of their roadsides, but they said they were getting out of doing that, and so the township purchased it, and the washrooms were made available for the traveling public.
Sure.
And this is something we can't stop them from using.
Sure.
And I think it's good that they're that Adams is looking at it on a regular basis. But speaking of which, I noticed in your report that you're looking at the washrooms we have at Stewart Park and Maplewood. And I know they've been in there over a decade. They were put in, and one of them actually moved Stewart Park from one side to the other, and they're being pumped out, I guess. I'm not sure if they were in the past until you put out the...
I think they have been in the past. We actually tried to get them pumped out on Friday, and Adams couldn't do it. There was too much garbage in them.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to have to close them and maybe talk to you guys about getting an extra porta potty at each.
Well, that's what I wanted to clarify. Yeah. I don't know what shape
the rest
in
of the season, and we'll look at next season.
Because porta potties aren't cheap, and already we're paying, I don't know what the total is, but a fair bit. And I'm just wondering. they're working at Stewart Park in Maplewood, maybe they're not. They did for a decade. If the things are not functioning now, we might have to go that route. But I would think council would want to certainly investigate the costs and cost comparison, as opposed to putting in porta potties that are changed up, as you say, each year, as opposed to a building that's there, that's functioning. Well, maybe it's not functioning. I don't know. I know it's in your suggestion that we change them up. But
can it be fixed? What's the problem?
I'm not sure. Oh. They couldn't pump them, so I guess the fix is move them and dig them up.
Oh, okay.
But I think maybe going forward, I can do a report for next meeting on the cost of having the porta potties there instead.
I like them myself. I think not the porta potties, the building itself. It's actually bigger and everything, you know.
Yeah, I think neighbors may rather, especially at Stewart's Park, the neighbors are kind of close with porta potties. There seems to be a smell always coming from them, where I really don't think there is from that one that's there. And then it is also on the snowmobile trail, so it's used in the winter. So if you want porta potty, well, that eliminates that kind of thing. But I wouldn't mind, it might be worth talking to the neighbors to see what they would prefer, because I have a feeling there'd be a smell coming from it all the time at the beach. At Stewart's Park, so it could be forklift up and moved and dug out, and that it's shipped off to Adams or whatever and replaced. I think we look at that as an option also.
I'm just looking here too for Lakeside. Now I mentioned this before, I guess a few months ago, and I don't know whether it's passed on or not, but the boat ramp. There's a couple pieces of rebar that are exposed for the ramp itself, and there was a complaint from the public, and I looked into it months ago, but of course it's still there and exposed, so I'm thinking, I don't think the actual concrete can be built up around it. It's a matter of pounding it down or sawing it off. It's not just a problem, I think, for tires, but maybe somebody walking there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're big.
At Lakeside, eh?
At Lakeside, yeah.
Okay.
It's the ones closest to the water itself. There are two of them there exposed. It'd just be good to follow up on the public complaint. Mm-hmm. Councilor Pecker?
Just the page 2, second paragraph. In the event that a significant cost of repair is required and any issue poses immediate public concern, it may be necessary to close the affected facility for the remainder of the 2024 season to mitigate the liability. Which facility are you talking about?
We didn't find anything that would warrant that. The government dock, there was quite a few complaints about trip hazards and loose boards, and we've looked at it, and I think everything's okay. We're going to have to replace that dock in the near future, but we'll get through this year. It's checked regularly, and loose screws and loose boards are tightened down.
Because I think that being proactive like this is the way to go, but shutting something down without anyone's knowledge causes quite a bit of concern, so if you can stay proactive and ensure that we...
It's good for their safety.
Is there any update on the tankless hot water heater at the arena?
Apparently it came in today. I'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
So it'll be...
I hear about it from pickleballers all the time.
I do,
so.
Too.
Okay. All right, that's good news.
The supply chain is very poor nowadays. I don't know what
sure.
it is. But.
Okay, thank you.
The other one was the downtown boardwalk. Now, of course, that was in conjunction with the bridge that never materialized. So I guess the question, replace in 2026 or remove? I don't know. It used to be people would walk along the road, which wasn't safe either. If it's going to be replaced, I guess there were complaints even at the time of the boardwalk. Why do we need it? And so I guess council's going to have to make a call on that one, too.
We can do some costing prior to next year's budget. So.
Okay. Now, since we're talking about your inspection, can we also go over to your report that came in to us? Just
sure.
A couple things on there. You had mentioned the gravel stockpiling at Bell's, unknown quantities. So does somebody have a record?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We can bill. Because we haven't trucked in there for a week or two. But. So
okay.
It's a matter to it. I can get a quantity. We're not near the total yet.
I see we had talked at one point of actually stop receiving tires, but then council decided no, we're still going to receive them. I think it was a unanimous or a majority vote. We're in a situation, I think, that if we can't have anybody to remove them, can we still receive them?
So I have found someone to remove them.
Okay. Did they know
but
when?
They haven't given me a date when they're coming.
Okay.
As Carling has contacted them as well. So I think they wait until they have a full load.
Well, they've got more than a load, unless
they've got a full load. I think they're having trouble getting rid of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, because it seems to be a struggle. This program was set up by the government, so
mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going well from trying to contact people. You go on the website and it's all roses, and it's just make one call and they'll take your tires away, and it's not that way.
No, it doesn't work for you.
Well, I think we need to send some correspondence to the upper echelons to advise them that if you're promoting this program and advising that you're supplying this program, then you have to ensure that you're going to be able to meet the fulfill your obligations.
With pictures.
Don't you have the name of that fellow that from that municipal association meeting? He was out there and said if there's any problems, so
I can contact him.
Because we're paying for it. You know, that anyone that's purchasing tires are paying for it,
okay.
So are we getting our money's worth? If there's people getting paid to do a job, are we getting what we're paying for?
Yeah, it's a question of finding somebody who's willing to, engage in that particular program. The program may be there, but if you don't have anybody, any contractors that decide to take it on, then I'm not even sure what the government's going to do there. They can't force somebody to take them.
Well, it's all legislated. It's under provincial legislation. So, if there's...
So, what, do we take it to Queen's Park, drop the tires off there? Or
well, we have to reach the upper echelons because... if it's legislated that they have to take these tires, and maybe someone at Queen's Park needs to know that they aren't taking the tires, and what's the incentive for any contractor to take the tires? You know, aren't they being compensated fairly for what they're being asked to do? What is the problem? If it's anyone will provide a service if they're going to be paid, fairly for the job that they're doing. So.
I agree. It just sounds like a long process, and the tires are piling up there. And,
Or we sit here and we just wait, and no one hears that us and maybe another 100 municipalities are complaining.
Yeah, but there is a solution. My understanding is that people will haul them away at a price, and so that's another thing the council's going to have to entertain. If we can't find a hauler through government or whoever, then we may have to pay to remove them, and I would suggest at some point we have to stop receiving them. If we can't get rid of them, if we have to pay to get rid of them, that's helping the public, I guess, in a sense, but they're paying for it through